If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I'd like to ask if you would find with me the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 11 this morning. Matthew chapter number 11. While you're turning there, I do want to take just a moment to tell you a little bit about Circle G Ministry. I feel as I stand here before you this morning that I am the most blessed man in all the world. I love what I do. I love to preach and teach God's Word. I'm so glad that He has called me to serve Him in full-time service. But then I also, from a little boy, have always had a love for horses. I love everything about them. I love the way they move. I love the way they smell. There's nothing about them that I do not like. And I feel so blessed because so many, I find in our ministry that God lets me take and preach and teach His Word and put horses together. And whenever I can do that, I'm just like a pig in the mud. I mean, life doesn't get any better than that. And we get the privilege of traveling all over this great country that we live in. And hauling horses up and down the road and going and teaching horsemanship clinics all across the United States of America. And we go in for about 3 days and teach those clinics. And on the middle night, we always, after we put the horses away, we have a brief church service, and I get the privilege of sharing the gospel with men and women who would probably never walk in the doors of a traditional church. And it's been awesome to see many of them bow right there in the sawdust of a barn or the dirt of an arena and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and allow Him to begin to radically change their lives from the inside out. So I thank the Lord that He allows me to do that. We serve doing that all throughout the year. We also, I'll be in probably 35 to 40 different churches this year, teaching and preaching in Bible conferences, revivals, and different churches like that. And if you want to know a little bit more about Circle G Ministry, just look us up online at circlegministry.org, and it'll tell you a lot more about that. And we'd love, if you have any questions, send us an email or something, and we'd love to talk to you a little bit more about that. But I want to get to what I believe is God's message for us this morning. As you look at Matthew chapter 11 and verse 11, if you have a red letter edition, you will see that these are Jesus' words. And He starts by saying, "Verily I say unto you," or "Truly I say unto you." Now, when you're reading your Bible, and Jesus says those words, "Verily I say unto you," you need to stop. And you need to listen to what is getting ready to come, because He's getting ready to present something very important that He wants you to get a hold of. He says, "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." As you look at that verse this morning, I believe you're going to see something that is seldomly happens in the gospel writings. You say, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" Very seldom do you find in the gospels that Jesus pays someone a compliment. Now, I'm not saying this morning that He was ungracious, unthankful, or unappreciative for the things that people did for Him. But what I am saying this morning is this: very seldom did someone live their life or do something that so moved the Lord that He paid them a compliment. But here in this text, we see that John the Baptist received a great compliment. As we stay with the theme for your chapels this semester, He recognized him as a servant who pleased him with his life. He said, "Among men that have been born of women," or "women that have been born of women, there has not been one who has walked on the face of this earth greater than John the Baptist." Wow, what a compliment from the Lord. Wouldn't you like to hear a compliment like that from the Lord Jesus Christ Himself? As we think about that compliment this morning, that brings us to ask ourselves a question. And that question is this: what was it about John's life that brought the Lord to give him that compliment? What is it about John's life that moved the Lord Jesus Christ to say, "There's not been a greater born among women than John the Baptist. I want to show you just some four significant things about John the Baptist's life this morning. I want you to turn back with me to Matthew chapter 3 quickly this morning. Matthew chapter 3. I want you to notice how the Bible describes John the Baptist. It says in chapter 3 and verse 1, "In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, 'Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord.'" Now, out of all of the things the Bible could have said about John the Baptist, out of all the things it could have called him, it simply referred to him as the voice of one crying in the wilderness. It uses that simple characteristic of John's life and uses it as representative of the whole thing. It summarizes John's life as being one crying out in the wilderness saying, "Get ready, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Jesus is coming, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is at hand. You need to get ready. Prepare ye the way of the Lord." In Bible times, whenever a king would leave his throne and go to one of his cities that he owned, he would send an entourage ahead of him, and as they would go ahead of him before time, they would, all the low places in the road, they would build up so that the king could pass on easy ground. All the crooked places, they would straighten out so no robbers or thieves could hide behind those turns and rob the king as he approached that city. They would take all the high places and they would bring them down so that the king would have easy passage into that city. What John was saying to those people is, you need to prepare your lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. He is on the way. The crooked places in your life, you need to get out of your life. The low places in your life, you need to bring them up to where the Lord wants them to be. The places in your life where you are exalting yourself and putting yourself way too high, you need to bring down to where the Lord wants you to have them, and you need to get your lives right with the Lord. John was described as the voice, getting people ready for the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we just sang about here this morning. He came. That's what Christmas is all about. That's what we're getting ready to celebrate here in just a few days. But friends, I'm here to tell you this morning. I believe that He has put every one of us here on this earth for such a time as this, to prepare people for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is coming, and He is coming very, very soon. And we need to be doing everything we can do to get people ready for His coming the second time. John was described as the voice preparing people for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But let's go on this morning. Pick it up with me in verse 4. "And this same John had his raiment of camel's hair, and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem, and all Judea, and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in the Jordan, confessing their sins." Now, I want you to get this picture in your head this morning. Here is this guy. He's out roaming around the Judean wilderness. He's got this crude camel hair draped over his shoulder. He has this leather, kind of a belt string girdle wrapped around, just kind of holding everything together. In one arm, he's got a receptacle full of bugs. In the other arm, he's got a receptacle full of honey. And as he goes out, he's crying out, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make His way straight. Get ready. King Jesus is coming." And all the while he's doing that, he's taking these bugs and popping them back like popcorn, and then he's washing it down with honey. I mean, this guy was different. You agree with me this morning? I mean, if John the Baptist were to show up on the first day of the semester here at Appalachian Bible College, I mean, there would be some eyebrows raised. They're like, "Who is this guy?" I mean, we'd probably call the police and say, "We've got a weirdo on our hands. Somebody needs to get here." But you know what is so awesome about this? Instead of running from John, they were attracted to that difference in his life. You see, it doesn't say that John went to town But it says that town went out to John. Judea and all the region round about went out to John. He was different, and it attracted people to him and his ministry. You know, as people, we are attracted to things that are different. I mean, just like light, bugs are attracted to the light, we're attracted to things that are different. A couple months ago, I was driving to go preach one night, and I was going through a city, and it was one of these cities, kind of like Beckley. You had a lane that you drove on, then there was a turning lane, and then there was the oncoming lane on the other side of the road. As I was going down the road, I noticed something that just absolutely just grabbed me. It was not a Dodge Neon. It was not a Dodge pickup like I drove here this morning. But it was a bright, fiery red Dodge Viper. Now, when you see a Dodge Viper, it grabs you. It arrests your attention. I mean, because it's different. You don't see Dodge Vipers every day. As a matter of fact, as I was going, I was driving this way, I was watching that car go by me, I swerved over into the turn lane. I mean, I almost wrecked my car watching this car. After I got by it, I looked in my rearview mirror, and I noticed that he pulled in a parking lot that was there. And so it was a little bit early for the meeting, and I turned around, and I came back. And whenever I pulled in the parking lot, there were already people starting to gather around this car to gawk and look at this car. They were attracted to it because it was so different to them. John was different and attracted people to him and his ministry. Guys, I'm here to challenge you this morning to be different. Dare to be different. God has made each and every one of you in a unique and a special way. He has given you gifts, abilities, and talents to be used for His glory. Dare to be different. You don't have to fit into anybody's mold and be like everyone else. Be the person that God has made you to be. Discover those gifts and talents and abilities that God has given you and put them on display for His glory and His grace and His greatness so that others can see Him and what He is doing and wants to do through your lives. Dare to be different, just like John the Baptist was different and used what God had given him for His glory. John was described as the voice preparing people for the coming of the Lord. John was different, and it attracted people to him and his ministry. But then thirdly this morning, John lived a very direct life. He was very direct. Pick it up with me in those next verses. Let your eyes fall on verse 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said, "Welcome, fellas. I knew you'd come. Join on in the fellowship." I think there's a couple people with me this morning. I've got a few over here that's kind of snickering. Like, no, that's not it, preacher. No, that's not what he said. He says, "You generation of vipers. You society of snakes, you deceitful beings who are leading everyone astray, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" In essence, no one had told them to flee from the wrath to come, because the Pharisees and Sadducees, they were the religious elite of the day. No one dare stand up to them and tell them that they were wrong, but John the Baptist did. He went head-to-head, toe-to-toe with those guys, and he let them know that before he would baptize any of those guys, he needed to see some fruit and evidence in their life that they had turned from their sinful ways and they had truly turned to the Lord and started following Him. And then it's almost like he's reading their mind. Look at the next verse. He says, "And think not to say within yourselves, 'We have Abraham to our father.' For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." He says, "I don't want to hear about your religious background. I don't want to hear how that you are children of Abraham." He said, "God can take these stones and make them serve me just as much as you are serving me." Isn't it amazing? Here we are some 2,000 years after Jesus Christ, and things haven't really changed that much. You try to talk to someone about their soul. You know what you hear about? You hear all about their religious background, but you hear very little about their relationship with Jesus Christ. They'll tell you, well, my grandpa preached at this church. My grandma went and sang at the choir here. I was baptized at this place. I prayed this prayer, but they have very little to tell you about their relationship with Jesus Christ and who He is and what He has done in their lives. Friends, if you meet the Lord Jesus Christ, He will change your life. And if He has not changed your life, you need to make sure that you have truly met Him. And then John the Baptist gets right down to the point. He gets very direct with these guys. Look at verse number 10. He says, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. In other words, here's the bottom line. This is where the rubber meets the road. He says, I indeed baptize... He says, therefore every tree which bringeth forth good fruit... Or bringeth forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Which bringeth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Verse 11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn the chaff with unquenchable fire. What he is saying there is, there's one coming after me who's much greater than I, whose shoe latchets I'm not worthy to unloose. And he said, whenever he comes, he will separate those who have received his gift of grace and eternal life from those who have rejected him and his grace and his goodness and everything that he wants to do in their life. He compares God's judgment to harvest day. He says his winnowing, or his fan is in his hand. You say, what does that mean? Well, his winnowing fork is in his hand, or it would be comparable to a modern day snow shovel. What they would do is whenever the wheat was ready to harvest, the farmer would go out and he would cut the wheat. He would bring it in to the winnowing floor. They would take that wheat and scatter it out all over the floor. And then they would begin to stomp on that wheat, or they would roll stones over that wheat, opening up the chaff or the kernel from the grain of wheat. And then they would take that winnowing shovel or that fork, and they would throw that wheat up in the air, and the wind would come by and it would blow the chaff, which was weightless, to one end of the barn, but the grain, that which had substance, character, would fall straight down to the ground. The farmer would continue to do that over and over and over till all the chaff had blown to one end and was in a pile, and all of the grain laid here in a pile. And then the farmer would gather the chaff, which was useless and weightless and had no substance. And he would burn it in the fire. The implication of a devil's hell in our passage. But the grain, which had substance and character and fruit, he would gather into the garner or heaven from our passage. With that being said this morning, I've got two very important questions that I need to ask. The first question this morning is this. On judgment day, when you stand before the Lord, which pile would you be in? Has there been that time in your life when you realized that you were a sinner who could not save yourself? You couldn't be good enough. You couldn't do good enough. There was no way that you could get yourself to heaven. But you also realized God, in all of His grace, sent the Lord Jesus Christ, His perfect Son from heaven, here to this earth. And He lived a perfect, sinless life. And at the end of that perfect, sinless life, He became the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He went to the cross of Calvary, and there He suffered, shed His blood, and died so that our sins could be forgiven and we could have a home with Him in heaven for all of eternity. And as a result of that, you were willing to repent of your sin. That means you were willing to turn from your vile, evil sin and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust Him to forgive you and save you from those sins that you could not save yourself from. And as a result of that, He came in and He began to change you from the inside out. You became a new creature in Jesus Christ. If that's your testimony this morning, praise God. You are on your way to heaven. You have been born again. You ought to sing His praises with all you've got for the rest of your life. But if there is a question mark on your heart this morning, maybe you have gone to church all your life. You have sat in all the classes here at Appalachian Bible College, but you're not sure that He's ever came in and truly changed you. Today is the day you need to get it settled in your life. Behold, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. I would be glad to meet with you and show you from God's Word how you can know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But for those of you who do know Him, I want to challenge you this morning to be bold, to be a little more direct like John the Baptist. Let your friends, family, and those that you are acquainted with know where they stand in their relationship with Jesus Christ. It's time that we had some tough conversations and we found out exactly where people stand with Him. You see, we're very good at telling people about the grace and the love and the goodness and the mercy of God. And all of those things are true, but sometimes we forget and we leave out that He is a holy God who puts wrath on sin and will judge this world. We need to let people know exactly where they stand. John, he was a voice preparing people for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was different. It attracted people to him and his ministry. He was very direct. He let people know exactly where they stood in their relationship with Jesus Christ. But then fourthly this morning, John lived a very diminished life. I want you to turn back with me to Matthew chapter 11. The context of Matthew chapter 11. As a result of his very direct ministry, John the Baptist has found himself in prison. He told King Herod that it was not proper, lawful, for him to take Herodias, his brother's wife. And as a result, it infuriated Herodias and Herod. And they had John the Baptist thrown in jail. As he sits in that jail, he becomes discouraged because that's not how he thought his life would end up. He had given his life to serving the Lord. He was that voice. He was that one who served God, preparing people for the coming of the Lord. And now he is sitting in prison. He thought that Jesus was going to come, usher in His kingdom, and everything was going to be great. He would be King of kings and Lord of lords. But it didn't happen the way he had it planned out in his head. He's beginning to doubt. So he sends a couple of his disciples to Jesus. Pick it up in verse 2. Now when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another one? Or for another. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. That word offended means scandalized. It means fall away. It means ashamed of me. In other words, what he's saying is, John, you're right where I want you to be. Don't get discouraged. Don't get downhearted. Just stick with me and trust me. You're right where I need you to be for my glory. John didn't want to be in prison. And I promise you, as you continue to read about John, you find out that he was eventually beheaded by Herod. Not what John had planned. But what's amazing about this is as the disciples go back to John to encourage him, Jesus looks at the crowd. And he said, when you went out into the wilderness, did you go out there to see some reed shaking in the wind? Or in other words, did you go out to see some spineless guy who was a coward and didn't have any backbone? No. John the Baptist stood toe-to-toe with the best of them. He said, did you go out there to see some king arrayed in fine linen and raiment? I'm sure when he said that, the crowd probably started snickering because they were thinking about John with that camel hair and, you know, the locust and honey. He said, did you go out to hear a prophet? He said, you went out to hear greater than a prophet. You went out to hear John the Baptist. And there's not been a greater born among women than John the Baptist. And guys, I wanted you to get a hold of something here. There's a brief time in John the Baptist's ministry that overlaps the Lord Jesus Christ's ministry. As John's disciples begin to leave him and follow the Lord Jesus Christ, the Pharisees came to John and they asked John, they said, John, all these who were following you, the big crowds, the groups, they're starting to leave you and follow this one that you bear witness to. You know what John said? He that is from above is above all. He must increase, but I must decrease. I want you to understand something this morning. It's not about Appalachian Bible College, although I love this place. It's not about Dr. Anderson, although I love Dr. Anderson. It's not about B.J. Grimmett. It's not about your professors. It's not even about you this morning. But you know what life is about? It's about Him. It's about exalting Him. It's about lifting Him up. It's about giving Him honor. It's about giving Him glory. It's about giving Him praise with every fiber of our being because He alone is worthy for it all. He is the one who shoe latchets. John wasn't worthy to unloose. He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He is the one that is coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He is going to set everything right. He's worthy. It's about Him. We must decrease, but He must increase in our lives. He said, if any man will be my disciple, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow after me. Whoever will find his life, they shall lose it. But whoever will lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall find it. Students, let me ask you this morning, are you willing to lose your life for His glory and for His honor? Would you give up your dreams and desires for His dreams and desires? Would you give up your will for His will? Would you give up your life so that His life can be seen working in and through you? That's what John did. He lived a diminished life. He was described as the voice preparing people for His coming. He was different. It attracted people to Him and His ministry. He was very direct. He let people know exactly where they stood in their relationship with Him. And Jesus Christ Himself pay John a compliment and said, "There's not risen a greater than John the Baptist." But I want you to catch one more thing. The end of that verse says, "Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Guys, if we'll implement these things into our life, if we will give our life for God's with God's grace for His glory, we have the opportunity at the end of our journey of hearing the compliment of Jesus Christ. Wouldn't you love to hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? There's not been a greater. You're greater than John the Baptist. Wow. Wouldn't that be awesome?